working on a series for the evening services on the book of 2 Peter, and I'm working on something that I've never heard preached on. And I don't have a wide resource of material because it doesn't seem to me to have been approached, and yet I feel I want to move in a direction of looking at that book in a way that's meaningful to me in a way it has never been before. So I appreciate your prayers for that. I don't feel like I've got a lot of help to go to in others, and so I'd want you to be thinking about that as I work that through, and I'd like you to respond to me. I mean, just mention if you see things that seem they might be unusual. I don't know that you'd have heard them before. I know you've heard verses from 2 Peter quoted, but there are some things that it seems to me we find early on in the book that are a lot deeper than I've had anyone show me. So I appreciate your help as I would research it as much as I can, and then as I would prepare to share the things from 2 Peter. Obscure book in many ways. Wonderful book. I'd like to work on that. But I thought tonight to share something else at this point. Next week I think I'll pick that up again. But tonight I'd like to turn to Philippians, and I'd like to turn to Philippians 3:16, where there's an encouragement from the apostle that I have been very wonderfully encouraged about myself. And so I'd like to look at Paul's encouragement to the people in Philippi that they might, as it says in verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. And we can take that as an exhortation to us. Let us live up to what we have already attained. Paul, who is full of joy with the book of Philippians, when Warren Wiersbe wrote a book on it, he called it Be Joyful, because you find joy everywhere in the book of Philippians. Many interesting, valuable things that are shared in the book, and some words that we are very familiar with, that we do turn to often even in chapter 3. So I'd like to look at chapter 3, 1-16, and then I'd like to especially focus on verse 16. Only, it says, verse 16, only let us live up to what we've already attained. Let's read Philippians 1:3, 1-16, and then focus on that verse. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already become perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. wonderful things in that passage, wonderful reminders of wonderful truths, and things we have quoted and remembered time and again. But I want to look at this one challenge. Let us live up to what we've already attained. And to do that, I'd like to first of all focus on what we haven't attained. Paul, in the context, shows us what he hasn't attained. So let's be frank and honest and look at what we have not attained. And then look at what we have attained, and then speak of living up to it. So those are the three divisions: what we've not attained, what we have attained, living up to it. And it's all springing from or relating to verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for this opportunity to consider your word. There's so many things in this passage that we've read that we've returned to again and again. Reminders of the importance of knowing Christ and the emptiness of everything else that we might trust in. The foolishness of having believed that our own righteousness could possibly save us. And the foolishness of priding ourselves on anything we had. Lord, you've brought us to the point where we've seen that all that we had is worthless and rubbish compared with the wonder of knowing Christ. And Lord, we have seen something of that. We bless you for the identification that we have with Paul. We certainly haven't attained what he attained. And yet, Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased to live up to what we have attained, and that you'll grant us grace as we think about this passage, focusing on this particular verse. Grant us grace. Give us your Holy Spirit. Speak to us of Christ from this passage, we pray. We look to you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think of what we've not attained, we look at Paul and see what he hadn't attained, even though he was a wonderful teacher and challenged us to follow his example, yet he was conscious of what he hadn't attained. Look at verse 12 of the passage that we've read. Verse 12, Paul can say, "Not that I've already obtained all this or already been made perfect." Many things that he has longed to have, an embracing of Christ and knowing of him deeply, growth and a development and a fullness of knowing Jesus, and he had not yet attained that. Though he could not deny what he had attained, and he couldn't deny that he knew Jesus. He knew that he hadn't yet laid hold of Christ in the way he desired. Had not yet attained that. He says, "I've not yet attained it. Brothers, not that I've already obtained all this." He knows what he desires of Christ, but he hasn't got it all yet. And so he's conscious of that. He's not yet got completion. He hasn't got perfection. I know there was a time, I don't think there are very many of these people anymore, there was a time when people used to teach sinless perfection. And they redefined what sin is in such a way as to say that they could go 20 years they haven't sinned. Well, maybe this is too long ago for you people to remember, but there was a holiness movement. It was connected with Keswick for a time about 50 years ago. And it was basically the higher life where you somehow get to a point where you don't sin. And people actually made foolish statements about that. Spurgeon makes reference to that kind of thing, even in his time. People that would claim some kind of superior holiness. He didn't claim that. No, I'm not holy. I don't have what I long for. I am not the perfect person I'd like to be. I am not that. He wouldn't be one that boasted that there have been years that he's not sinned. He's conscious of sin all the time. Continually conscious. So when he's talking about having Christ and having denied everything else, embracing Christ, he says, I'm not complete yet. I don't have it completely, and I certainly don't have perfection. And those are things, obviously, we can say. You've been given a vision of what you long to have in Christ. Got it? Well, yes. Really? Well, yes. But not everything you want. Not the fullness of what you desire. You're not complete yet. And you're certainly not perfect. Find yourself falling far short of what you ought to be. Every day. Every day there are things that are not what you should be. Now you love Jesus. You know him. But you aren't complete and you're not perfect yet. And you're tremendously conscious of that. We don't have a fellowship with Jesus as close as we'd like. He speaks in a wonderful way of knowing Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings and being identified with Jesus, of fullness. And it's beautiful. And you think, I fall so far short of where Paul was in that wonderful fellowship with Jesus moment by moment. But he said he didn't have it either. It's not complete yet. There's something of that. We can identify it. We can look at Paul and say, well, I sure fall far short of him. He thought he fell far short. And he wasn't yet, he hadn't yet attained to the degree of fellowship with Jesus that he longed for. Had the vision of it, was stirring up to receive it, to want it, didn't yet have it, hadn't yet attained it, and he didn't pretend to have attained it. He'd like to have the likeness of Christ in his death. That kind of self-sacrifice that even comes even to denying your life and giving of yourself in that kind of a completeness. Well, he did get encouraged by that at times, and you think when you hear people, scriptures speak of it, and you so long that I'd have that kind of a life, and you want it, but he hadn't attained it yet. He didn't have it fully, and the likeness to him in his death, death to self, knew something of it, didn't know it like he wanted to know it, not attained it yet. If I hadn't attained, obviously, the final resurrection from the dead, there is a completeness we're going to have, and he didn't have it yet. And so we're in a world where we're still struggling and not what we ought to be and not succeeding and not being everything we desire. And here we are stuck in this world. We're not yet where we want to be. We know what we'd like to be. We long for it. We acknowledge we're not what we once were, but we're not yet what we long to be. Hadn't attained it yet. And Paul felt he hadn't retained finally what he'd be like at the end. Hadn't retained fullness of power in Christ. Hadn't even contained complete agreement with the brethren. You'd like to have a situation where everybody is in agreement and seeing things the same way and speaking of things where you don't have at times that you don't see things the same way with someone else. That's a trouble sometimes, and you have to get around it, and you have to learn how to be patient and be accepting of others who don't see things exactly as you do. Because by nature you think, well, of course I see it right. Of course this is the right way. But you deal with people that you know love Jesus and they don't see it the way you do. Well, Paul had that. Look what he says in verse 15. All who are mature, all of us who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. So you see, he's coping with the fact that we ought all to be in agreement, but you see things, some things differently. God will make that plain to you. He's confident that God has shown him, but he hadn't shown everybody. And we have the same thing. We've not yet attained as a fellowship to complete agreement. Wonderful worship this morning as we remembered the wonderful things on which we do agree. And we wonderfully worshiped Christ. And there's so many things that gives a richness to our life because we have attained an agreement with one another. But it's not perfect. And we still have the struggle of not seeing everything the same way. Well, Paul saw that. And he hadn't yet attained completion, perfection, fellowship as close as he wanted with Jesus, a likeness to Jesus, fullness of power in Christ, complete agreement among the brethren, hadn't yet attained that. So he declared, there's much in the Christian life that God has purposed for us, but we've not yet achieved it. Paul felt this was so. And if Paul felt it was so, it certainly reminds us that we feel it that way too. So we've looked here where Paul says, in verse 16, he says, only let us live up to what we've already attained. Well, we haven't attained everything. And he doesn't say that we're to live up and to be everything that we're supposed to be. Starting tomorrow, we're going to be perfect. No, he said, live up to what you have attained. So recognizing that we, like Paul, have not attained everything that we longed in, and we often behave better than we really are inside, and there's so many things in us that grieve us when we think about it. We are not what we ought to be. We are not complete. We do not think we're being a hypocrite, but we certainly... people have a better impression of us than we really are. Mahaney had the statement, when people ask him, how are you doing? He says, better than I deserve. People always challenge him. But we have to say, no, I am doing better than I deserve. No, I am not everything I'd like to be. And if somebody thinks I'm just this wonderful Christian, if anybody has that idea, they've really got it wrong. I haven't attained that yet. I'm working toward it, but I haven't attained it yet. Well, we can identify with Paul, and we feel that. But what have we attained? What had Paul attained? Paul had attained real faith in Christ. He believed the message of the gospel. He believed that he was a sinner and that Jesus came for sinners. He believed that Jesus died for his sin. He believed that he was accepted in God. And he believed what we believe. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that you are a sinner, you fall far short, but Jesus died for sinners and Jesus accepts you, and Jesus receives you, and Jesus draws near to you and fills you with his Spirit. Jesus, you have Christ. Paul had Christ. He says, let us live up to what we've attained. Do we always live out life as though we believe the gospel? Can we at times fall into a legalistic sort of spirit, and a depression and a discouragement that falls short of laying hold of Jesus? That for a time we're impatient with ourselves that we're not where we should be and kicking ourselves for our failures. Can we live a life that is something not reflecting the gospel we believe? Well, many in ministry emphasizes the need to live the gospel. Live as children of God who have been accepted, who have been received, who have been forgiven. Live as though we have one to care for us and to watch over us. Time and again, people live like orphans. Jesus said, I didn't leave you an orphan. I'm not leaving you an orphan. But you live like an orphan. Who's going to take care of me? And what's going to happen? And how am I going to handle this problem? And what will I do? And what if this thing happens? And what if that thing happens? And we can be so caught up with worry. And people will often confess that they worry. And when Jesus says, do not worry, we fall so far short. But we do have Christ. We do have a relationship with him. We have faith in him, and we should live as one of those that trusted Jesus. Live up to what you have attained. Have you attained a real faith in Jesus that is trusting in him for your salvation? Well then, Paul says, live up to what you've attained. We ought to live gospel lives. How does that apply to you? Well, I don't know. I have an inkling how it applies to me, and I know that God wants me to see how it applies to me. Well, life in him. We've got a new life. Our life has been transformed. His life was transformed. He was a persecutor of the church, and God made him into one that wanted to serve Jesus. He was a new person. Well, didn't that happen to you? Can you remember when you didn't want to serve God, and now you do? Now, some people, I praise the Lord, some people came to Christ at such an early age, they cannot remember that period of rebellion where they didn't believe in God. Somehow they wanted always in some way to please Jesus. And I'm so thankful there are people in that condition. I've longed that my own children would be at a place where they would come to Christ at such an early age they couldn't say when it was. And my grandchildren, that they come to Christ early, that they can't even say there was a time when they didn't love Jesus. We can often see the signs that that person, that little kid's living for himself. We long to see the change, but sometimes it comes early. It's wonderful when it does. But it is wonderful when it has come, and you and I can say, God has done that in us. We want to live for Jesus. That desire he's given us. Well, then let's live up to what we've attained. If this is what we desire, then let's do it. Paul says, live up to what you attain. You might want to attain a much deeper experience of Jesus. Don't live up to that. You haven't attained it yet. You'd want to expect to live up to a greater all-out giving of yourself to him. Well, if you haven't got that yet, you can't live up to that. Live up to what you have attained. To what degree have we come to Christ and believed in him and wanted to live for him and have a heart that longs to please him? Okay, live up to that. What are you? What have you come to? Live up to that. Isn't that what he's saying? Live up to what we've already attained. Well, in that respect, you aren't what you should be, but you're not what you once were, and you're not as bad as you could be. So take where you are and live up to that. Time and again, we fall short even of what we have attained. We often fall short of what we ought to have attained. We often fall short of the level of spirituality that we should have. But let's live up to the level of spirituality that we do have and live according to what God has already enabled us to attain. We've attained, by the grace of God, a title to heaven. This world is not our home. We have a home prepared for us. We are strangers and pilgrims here, and we long for the time when we'll see Jesus face to face. Have you attained that in terms of your faith? Is that something that's part of what you have believed? Well, then live up to that. And be content to live as a stranger in this world, realizing this world is not my home, not trying to make it my home. I mean, what are the ways that that can apply to me if I've attained that? If I have attained a recognition that the world is not my home, that heaven is my home, and that God would have me live for him here, if I attained to that, then let me live up to that. I think that's what Paul is challenging me to do. Live up to the new life that we have, the citizenship in heaven that we have. Live up to it. we have deliverance from sin. God has broken the bonds of sin. We can now be free. We'll live up to that. Why do we have to sink back into sin? Why must we sink back into the old habits of wrong relating to each other and unkindness and other things that come into our lives? Why should that do that? Why not live up to where we are? We may not be farther than where we are, but we're not less than what we are. And may God help us to live up to what we have attained. Have we attained deliverance from sin? Then live according to that. And don't make provision for the lust of the flesh. And don't seek to live at a lower level than God's made you. We may not be able to live at a higher level than we have right now, but we ought to live to what we've attained. And some of us have attained deliverance from sin. Let's live up to what we've attained. What else have you attained? You've attained membership in the body of Christ. He has joined you. Now, whether you're technically a member of this assembly or not, you are a member of Christ. Wendy is not a member here, but is she a member of Christ? Well, then can her words be an encouragement to us? Because she's one of us. Is there any question she's one of us? Even though it may not be the same church role that we have our name. You're a member of a body of Christ. Live up to what you've attained. You've attained that. Jesus has made you that. And he's given you a body that loves you and brought you into a fellowship. Okay, live up to what you've attained. You may not be what you should be. You may not be the powerful leader you'd like to be and the tremendous influence on other people that you'd like to be. Maybe you feel gifted in something you haven't yet had the opportunity to do. Well, maybe you've not gotten some things that you might get. But could we live up to what we are? We are members of the body of Christ. May God help us to live up to that. And we have the Holy Spirit within. God's granted that Spirit. That's why we believe in Jesus. It's the Spirit that's made us to see our sin and recognize our need of Jesus. It's the Spirit that's given us a love for the Bible and a desire to know it better. It's our Spirit that prompts, His Spirit that prompts us to read the Scriptures and to seek His help and to ask Him for enlightenment and to guide us and direct us. His Spirit has done that. He's given us that. Well, then let's live up to that. Let's not just live a life where we lament that, we don't read the Bible like we should. Well, why not? Ought we not to live up to what we have? Do you love the Bible? Do you know it's the truth? Do you believe that it's the source whereby we can live to please Jesus? Well, you do believe that. Do you live up to it? This isn't living up to something higher than you've gotten to. You got that far. And that's what Paul is saying. How far are you? Wherever you are, live up to that, what you have attained. And the Lord calls us to do that. We don't have all that we will have in Christ. But the point is, live up to what we do have in Christ. Live a life more a Christian than we were, because we're closer to being what God has made us. And it's that's the context in which we'll become deeper and bigger people than we are. Well, it seems to me that's what Paul is challenging us to, that we would live up to what we have already attained. I don't know how that could not mean that. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Maybe thinking about this, you'll realize there's other things that I've attained in Jesus. Let me live up to them. Let me walk worthy of the Lord. Can you ever be worthy of the salvation that he gave? Well, no, of course not. Not worthy in the sense that you'll ever deserve it. But can you work when you walk appropriately with salvation? Can you walk in a way that's appropriate for a Christian? And have you gotten to be a good enough Christian that you can at least do that? Well, then do it. That's where Paul is urging us. Live up to what you've already attained. Well, Paul has given us some advice on how to do that, and we'll look at that as we close, living up to it. And he's given us an important example in how to do what he's urging us to do. Look back at verses 12 to 14, and this will bring to mind things that you've thought of before. Look what he says. Now, he knows the things he hasn't attained, but what does he do? Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already become perfect, but been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We press on. We aren't where we ought to be, but we press on. We reach for it. He's got you pressing on and reaching for a being the kind of Christian that's consistent with what I am. Reaching for it, because we're not there yet. Forgetting what went behind. You can be so discouraged by your failures that you sort of just give up for a while and coast. No, don't forget. Don't remember your failures and give up and coast for a while. And don't get around to pressing on and laying hold. Lay hold of it. Lay hold of that which God has called you to. Be the person God wants you to be. Do it by God's grace. Press on, reach for it, forget what went behind. So discouraged by your failures that you feel, oh, I'm a mess and I can't do anything. And how long do you live under that? I'm a mess and I can't do anything. How long do you just stay there? Or do you forget the things that are behind? Failures before? Yeah, many of them. Well, what do? Forget the things that are behind and press on. Strain toward the goal. Think of the prize. The prize is the high calling of Christ. Think of that prize. Think higher than where you are, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, pressing on. Lay aside every weight, sins that so easily beset us, and press on, looking unto Jesus. Isn't this the same kind of thing that we find in the book of Hebrews? The same sort of thing. Forgetting the things that are behind. Shake loose the things that keep you back. Move forward with the goal of laying hold of the prize. Think of the prize and give Jesus all the glory. He says, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what's ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And his focus ends up with Jesus Christ, giving Jesus all the glory. Well, Paul has charged us to live up to what we've attained. How that applies to you personally, I don't know. But I know that this has captured my own thinking in the last few days and been a help to me to think, that's what I've got to learn to do, live up to what I have attained. And don't be held back because I feel I'm not far enough along. What have I attained? Live up to that. And I think that's what's going to bring me to a stage where I will attain more and get farther along and actually grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. I think some of these things have connected with what I've been thinking about in 1 Peter, in 2 Peter. And really want the light of God to be able to see what are we being challenged to. I think it will all fit in very well with Paul when he says, press on to the goal to win the prize for which God's called me. Live up to what I've already attained. May the Lord help us to do that and to be able to challenge one another, asking people, is this kind of thing meaningful to them? Do they know anything about that kind of Christian life? Helping people to see that the Christian life is so much more than a ticket to get you free from hell. No, there's something much more to that. If we've got that idea of what's involved in being a Christian, it may be more useful in helping other people to think about the fact that there's a day of judgment when we will be judged, every one of us. And we need to have the righteousness of Christ or we cannot be received. Are we ready to challenge people? Are they ready to receive, to stand before Christ? Are they forgiven? Paul was a very good person, but he saw he wasn't good enough. Share with somebody else. Do they see? Grant they're a very good person. Not good enough. And urge them to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to remember this is what Christian life is, and perhaps that will help us to better reach out to people who need the Christian life, need life in Christ, need forgiveness, need the things that, by the grace of God, we have already attained. There are some things that, by the grace of God, we already have. May God help us to live up to what we already have. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that we can testify that we already have something real in you. We already have forgiveness, because Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. And we believe that his death on the cross was for us. And we believe that he rose again and that resurrection was for us. And we even now are seated with him in the heavenlies. Lord, we believe these things. Lord, help us to live as that kind of person, we pray. We believe that we've been delivered from our sins. Help us to live as those that are delivered from our sins. Live up to what we have attained. Lord, we believe we're members of a body of Christ. Lord, help us to live as members of the body of Christ. And let us live up to what we have attained. Lord, we have a solid hope of heaven. Let us live as people filled with hope. We remember in Peter where it says, be ready to answer anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you. Lord, we do have hope in Christ. Help us to live up to that. And so live in a way that people might ask us, why are we hopeful in the midst of such a dismal world? Lord, help us in that, we pray. Help us live up to what we have. We have hope. You've given it to us. Help us live up to it, we pray. Grant us your grace that these things might speak to us, might help us, and might bless us. And continue with us, everyone, throughout this week for the glory of Jesus, who loved us, gave himself for us. We ask in his name. Amen.